Married at First Sight. Chapter 4073. Abby had no idea that Evan had woken up. She was still outside, engrossed in a phone call with Victoria. Victoria sounded relieved when she learned that the person Abby liked was the young master of Wiltspoon's wealthiest family. As long as he wasn't someone with a Phoenix Man reputation, she was at ease. "Victoria," Abby asked, "when are you coming back? It's been so long since we've seen each other. Brother Spencer will be back soon. Are you really not coming back?" "Victoria, there's only a sibling relationship between Brother Spencer and me. Please don't misunderstand or overthink it. The person my brother likes is you. You should know that by now. You two are the real childhood sweethearts, two kids who didn't even know it back then." Although Abby had known Spencer and Victoria since childhood, her connection with them wasn't as strong. She spent most of her time learning skills from her master, only returning to her parents during winter and summer vacations. Once the vacations ended, she would leave again. Her schooling was completed in the city where her master lived, so her relationship with Spencer and Victoria was largely sustained over the phone. In contrast, Spencer and Victoria had a deep bond. They grew up together, went to school together, and even shared classes from elementary school to college. Their families were close, with similar backgrounds. Their mothers were wealthy women who had married into prominent families, further strengthening the bond between the two households. By all accounts, Spencer and Victoria were a perfect match. So why had the Chouinard family suddenly decided to pair Spencer with Abby? "Abby," Victoria began, "your brother and I think differently. We argue too much. We're better as friends or siblings, not as husband and wife. Besides, he's never told me he loves me. I do have feelings for him, but I'm tired of waiting after all these years. His family doesn't seem to like me much either. Maybe it's because my family's business isn't doing well. Abby, Spencer is a good man, someone you can trust for life. If things don't work out between you and the young master of the York family, I'd be happy if you ended up with Spencer. I'd feel relieved knowing he'd take care of you and treat you well. He's a genuinely kind person." Abby caught the key point. Concerned, she asked, "Victoria, is your family's business struggling? I haven't heard anything about it." Her mother had never mentioned any issues, but perhaps Victoria's mother had kept quiet to avoid worrying anyone. After a moment of silence, Victoria replied, "Business has its ups and downs. Sometimes you profit, and sometimes you lose. It's just part of the process. Don't worry about me, Abby. I'm fine. I have my own job. Even if the company went bankrupt, I'd still manage. I can take care of myself and my family." "Victoria," Abby said firmly, "we're like sisters. We've been friends for over 20 years, and you've always treated me like family. If something's wrong, you can tell me. I'm not a little girl anymore. I'm grown up now, no longer the kid who followed you around crying for hugs. What's going on with your company? Tell me, maybe I can help. If things aren't working out abroad, come back. No matter how great it is out there, it'll never feel as comfortable as home. You could start fresh here." Victoria chuckled softly. "I'm not planning to come back anytime soon. I'll return once Spencer is back. He thinks I'm still hung up on him and keeps running after me. But he hasn't said anything, and if he doesn't want to, I won't push it. Maybe I've been fooling myself all these years." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4074. Chapter 4074. Victoria added, "I don't have to be with him. Abby, let's not talk about these depressing things anymore. I'll be busy for a while, but I'll call you when I have some free time. It's been so long since we've had a proper chat." The little kid who used to cling to her, crying for her to hold him, had grown up. After the call, Abby found herself deep in thought. Victoria's family business is in trouble. Is the Chouinard family unwilling to help? From Victoria's words, it was clear that her family's situation was dire, so bad that bankruptcy seemed like a real possibility. The Du Group also operated internationally, but Victoria had been tight-lipped about the details. Abby wanted to help her, but she didn't know how. If Spencer was avoiding a relationship with Victoria because her family's business was struggling, Abby would lose all respect for him. Could the kind, gentle, and noble brother she remembered really be that sort of person? No, Abby didn't believe Spencer was like that. Perhaps it was the Chouinard family elders who were being overly pragmatic. Seeing that Victoria's family was on the verge of decline, they might have decided she was no longer a suitable match for Spencer. But no, Victoria had said that Spencer never confessed to her, not even once. That meant Victoria had been harboring feelings for Spencer all along, waiting for him to make a move, but he never did. What a mess. Abby couldn't wrap her head around the situation. All she could do was wait for Spencer to return and find a time to talk to him directly, to ask him what he truly felt. Abby. Evan's hoarse voice came from the room. It wasn't loud, he could barely manage to speak, but it was clearer than it had been earlier. The medication seemed to be working. Abby's sharp hearing, honed from her martial arts training, picked up his voice instantly. She got up and walked into the room. When she saw that Evan was awake, she approached him and touched his forehead. "It's not as hot anymore," she noted. "The fever's starting to break. Do you want some water?" Evan nodded slightly. His throat was still sore, so he avoided speaking when he could. Abby poured him a cup of warm water and moved to help him sit up, but Evan managed on his own, making things easier for both of them. While Evan sipped the water, Abby called for the nurse to bring a fresh bottle of medicine. "Is there more?" Abby asked. The nurse replied, "Just one more bottle." Evan silently sighed. Since being admitted to the hospital, he'd already received 2 or 3 bottles, and there was still one left. How many bottles did he need? It was starting to feel like he had some serious illness. "Take his temperature," the nurse instructed before leaving. Abby hummed in acknowledgement. After the nurse left, she grabbed a thermometer and checked Evan's temperature. Once Evan finished his water, he leaned back against the headboard and looked at her intently. "Why are you looking at me like that?" Abby asked, sounding slightly annoyed. "My sister's the one treating you, but it feels like I'm the one getting punished." She sighed. "I gave you that spicy food to teach you a lesson, and now you're here in the hospital and I'm stuck taking care of you. It's like I'm being punished along with you." Evan wanted to ask about the phone conversation she'd just had. He had overheard her mention Spencer several times, but his throat hurt too much to ask. Saturday was 2 days away. He needed to recover quickly so he could be discharged and head to the airport with Abby to pick up Spencer. Where was this so-called rival of his? Evan was determined to meet Spencer. He needed to see for himself just how much of a threat this man posed. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4075. Chapter 4075. A few minutes later, Abby removed the thermometer from Evan's armpit, glanced at it, and said, 38 degrees. The fever hasn't completely broken, but it's a big improvement from 39.8 when you were admitted. When did you last take your medicine? Is it time for another dose? Evan shook his head, signaling that he couldn't remember. Abby thought for a moment and said, I think it's about time. Take the medicine first, get some rest, and I'll have dinner sent over. In your condition, you can only handle something light, maybe some plain porridge. Knowing how sore his throat was, Abby called home and asked the nanny to prepare dinner and include a bowl of white porridge specifically for Evan. Evan nodded eagerly, grateful. After wrapping up the call, Abby turned to him and teased, "The eloquent fourth young Master York has been reduced to a mute who can only nod. Honestly, it's weird seeing you like this." She was so used to their playful banter. Evan gave her an apologetic look. "Don't look at me like that. You don't owe me anything," Abby said, waving him off. I'm not here to babysit you every day. Your grandma asked me to check on you because of the high fever. Now that it's coming down and the meds seem to be helping, I'd say you're on the mend. You can take care of yourself. Before she could finish, Evan suddenly erupted into a violent coughing fit. His face turned red, and he was gasping for air like he was about to pass out. At first, Abby thought he was being dramatic, but as the coughing worsened, she rushed to his side in concern. She gently patted his back, picked up the cup of warm water from the bedside table, and handed it to him. "Here, drink some water." Evan took the cup, sipped twice, and after a few more coughs, he finally seemed to calm down. "Abby," he croaked, his voice strained. He gestured to his throat, clearly in pain. "If it hurts that much, don't try to talk," Abby said firmly. "The doctor advised you to rest your voice for a few days." Evan picked up his phone, typed something, and showed it to her. "I'm still feeling awful. Can you stay and take care of me tomorrow too?" After reading it, Abby sighed. "I have a meeting tomorrow and an important client to meet. I really can't spare the time. But if you can't manage on your own, I can arrange for a caretaker and a bodyguard to look after you." Evan didn't respond immediately. After a moment, he typed back, "Okay, thank you." "Get some more rest," Abby told him. Evan, still fatigued from his illness, soon fell back asleep. When he woke up again, the city lights were twinkling outside. Abby, having eaten and relaxed, was watching TV in the small lounge outside. As if sensing that he was awake, she appeared in the room almost immediately. "You're finally up," she said. "I've checked on you a few times already. Come on, sit up and eat some porridge. Your fever came back a bit earlier." Evan sat up slowly. This time, he felt much better. His forehead no longer felt feverish, his throat was less painful, and his body felt lighter. He glanced at the four-stand. The medicine was nearly finished. Abby entered with a steaming bowl of porridge. Catching him eyeing the four, she said, "That's the last bottle. In about 10 minutes, you can call the nurse to remove the needle." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4076. Chapter 4076. "Have you eaten?" Evan asked Abby, his voice still hoarse but just loud enough for her to hear. "I have," Abby replied. "But now I'm hungry again. You've been asleep long enough. Do you even know what time it is? It's past 9 in the evening. Don't try to talk. If you need to say something, type it out on your phone and show me." Evan's condition had noticeably improved, and Abby felt a wave of relief. She had been genuinely worried he'd stay sick for days just because of the spicy food. "Okay," Evan rasped, his voice strained but obedient. Abby handed him the bowl of porridge. "Here, eat this. It's plain, but at least it has a bit of salt for flavor." Evan, clearly famished, finished the porridge in no time. "Do you want more?" Abby asked. "There's another bowl in the thermal lunchbox." Evan shook his head. It was late, and he didn't want to overeat. Besides, he was mindful of his physique. He couldn't afford to ruin it. He hadn't won Abby's heart yet, and he needed to maintain his charm and appearance. After finishing his infusion and taking his medicine, Abby left the hospital around 10 o'clock that night. Evan, having slept so much earlier, found himself wide awake. Abby had insisted he stay in the room, so he stood by the window instead, watching as she walked out of the inpatient building. He followed her movements until she reached the parking lot, got into her car, and drove away. Only then did he finally look away. His phone rang, breaking the quiet. Evan sat on the edge of the bed and picked it up from the bedside table. The caller ID showed it was his mother. He muttered to himself, "Finally, she remembers to call and check on me." But why did she have to call so late? Was she not worried about disturbing his rest? Evan answered the call. "Evan," Rosella began, "how are you feeling?" Your grandmother told me you have a bad cold. Honestly, it's embarrassing that you ended up hospitalized just from eating chili peppers. Abby loves spicy food. What are you going to do about that in the future? You'll have to cook for yourself, make two versions of everything, non-spicy for you, and extra spicy for her. Evan let out a long sigh. Mom. His voice carried a note of grievance, but Rosella wasn't about to let him off the hook. You really got yourself into this one, she teased. Ending up in the hospital over some chili? It's ridiculous. Evan couldn't help but feel indignant. Rosella didn't even know how unbearably spicy the food had been. He'd never liked spicy food, even as a kid. Back home, the chef always catered to everyone's tastes, preparing both spicy and non-spicy dishes. But this time, no one had considered his preferences. This voice, Rosella said, her tone playful. You sound like a duck. Are you even my son? Or are you some kind of duck spirit? Evan was speechless. Dear mother, he thought sarcastically. Absolutely my dear mother. She showed no mercy, poking fun at him without the slightest bit of sympathy. You had it coming, Rosella continued bluntly. Your three older brothers always listen to your grandmother. Even your eldest brother, as tough as he is, bows his head and does what she says. And your younger brothers, fifth and sixth, they don't dare rebel, either. But you? You're the stubborn one. You brought this on yourself, ending up like this. Evan was at a loss for words. In truth, he'd been tricked by his grandmother. She had wanted to see him squirm and had expertly set him up. If only she'd warned him, if she'd even hinted that Abby was such a mercurial woman, maybe he wouldn't have fallen into this situation. But now, chasing Abby felt like a journey through fire and brimstone. And this? This was only the beginning. Married at First Sight, Chapter 4077. Chapter 4077. Mom, I'm your biological son. Evan exclaimed, his voice hoarse but full of exasperation. Rosella responded nonchalantly, if you weren't my biological son, I wouldn't bother caring about you or even calling you. But now that I know you're okay, I'm relieved. Then her tone softened slightly. Be good to Abby, Evan. She's a great girl, and I really like her. This new year, I hope you'll find yourself a girlfriend. Once you do, your brothers will follow suit. When all three of you finally have girlfriends, I'll just sit back and wait for my grandchildren. She sighed dramatically. I've saved plenty of money for your wedding, but honestly, I doubt you'll need it. You're capable of making your own money, so I'll just set that aside for my future granddaughter. But who knows if I'll even get to hold a granddaughter. Seeing little Ava, though, now I get why your grandmother can't stop thinking about her. She's just the sweetest. Beautiful, smart, doesn't cry or fuss, a perfect little angel. Evan groaned, Mom, you've been visiting the Johnsons again, haven't you? Of course, Rosella said with no shame. Your grandma and I needed to get out of the house for a bit. It's boring staying home all day, especially with no grandchildren to take care of. If I had grandkids around, I wouldn't be bored. But instead, I'm stuck with you and your brother. Two single men in their 30s. Other people's kids start dating in junior high, but not you. Oh no, you needed your grandma to step in and arrange things for you before you even considered looking for a girl. Honestly, if it weren't for your grandma, I'd be blaming your grandparents for raising you too well. They raised you into men who don't even know how to chase after the cabbage out there. Evan sighed inwardly. His mom was relentless. Rosella, clearly enjoying herself, added, but hey, don't think I'm mad about it. I don't mind worrying about you, it's my job as the best mother-in-law to be in the world. You'll thank me one day. You know I'm your favorite person, right? Evan didn't need to ask. He could already picture his grandmother sitting next to his mother, listening to the entire conversation and probably chiming in with her own remarks. Mom, You and Grandma enjoy your outing, Evan finally said. I'm hanging up now. He had heard enough. Truthfully, Evan thought his parents were the most irresponsible people he knew. They'd had one child and handed them off to the grandparents. Then they had two more and did the same thing. Raising kids didn't seem to be part of their plan. They were too busy enjoying their carefree lives. Evan still remembered how, as kids, their parents would come home from work and try to play with them. But as soon as one of the kids started crying, they'd bolt, leaving their grandparents to handle the fallout. Ironically, Evan and his siblings had preferred their grandparents anyway. Despite being strict, their grandparents were loving and nurturing. The kids had always felt safe and cared for in their presence. All right, Rosella said, cutting into his thoughts. Once you're fully recovered, let me know, and we'll talk again. Oh, and stop talking for now. Your voice sounds worse than a duck's quack, it's hilarious. She broke into laughter, her voice bubbling through the phone. Evan sighed heavily and hung up without another word. His mom's way of showing love was, to put it lightly, unconventional. Other mothers would fret and feel heartbroken knowing their child was sick. Not Rosella. She found endless amusement in his misery. Even after Evan ended the call, Rosella wasn't offended. If anything, she seemed delighted. Still chuckling, she turned to her mother-in-law and sisters-in-law and said, "Evan's voice is even worse than a duck's quack right now. I swear, this time he's really out of commission." Married at First Sight, Chapter 4078. Chapter 4078. Tanya chuckled and said to Rosella, "You're laughing so loudly on the phone, poor Evan must feel awful. He's probably so uncomfortable right now. You're his mom, after all. At least wait until the call is over before you start laughing." Madison chimed in, "Exactly. You could have saved the laughing for us. Instead, you laughed right in his ear. He's already hurting physically and emotionally, and no one's there to comfort him properly." Rosella shrugged, unconcerned. "Abby's there to take care of him, isn't she? She'll comfort him. But it's late now, hasn't Abby gone back to rest? Evan hasn't even managed to win her over yet. How could she possibly stay overnight at the hospital just for him?" The old lady, listening with a knowing smile, gently reminded them, "You're all aware it's late, aren't you? Then why aren't you heading to bed? It's almost midnight. Thankfully, the guest rooms are spacious enough for the four of us, mother-in-law and daughters-in-law, to chat and laugh without disturbing anyone. But remember, we're guests here. We shouldn't inconvenience the Johnson family." The three sisters-in-law glanced at the clock, realizing how late it had gotten. Tanya, the eldest sister-in-law, stood up and took charge. "All right, Mom, let's call it a night. We'll get some rest now and head out for a walk tomorrow." While the scenery at FC Manor was stunning, it wasn't much different from what they were used to at Wildridge Manor. After living there for decades, they'd grown somewhat indifferent to the beauty. A change of pace sounded more appealing than admiring the same kind of views. Besides, they were a bit tired of doting on little Ava all day. "Let's plan to explore the area tomorrow," Tanya continued. "Even though we've been to Annenberg a few times, there are always new things to see." The old lady nodded, her smile softening. "That sounds lovely. Some of the other old friends mentioned wanting to join us for the walk, too." She paused thoughtfully, then added, "Maybe we can bring Ava along with her siblings. That little girl gets more adorable every day. She's like a living doll straight out of a New Year's painting. If I had a great-granddaughter like her, I'd probably wake up smiling in my dreams." The old lady York's wistful tone didn't go unnoticed. The three sisters-in-law exchanged silent glances, knowing how much their mother-in-law longed for a granddaughter. But her disappointment wasn't their fault. They'd tried, after all. Tanya, Madison, and Rosella had each hoped for a daughter at one point or another. But no matter how many times they tried, the results were always the same: boys. Rosella had once considered trying for a fourth child, but the old lady York had intervened. She worried about Rosella's health and didn't want her risking another pregnancy at her age. But more than that, she feared that the fourth child would also be a boy. Madison's experience had been proof enough. She'd tried for a daughter four times and ended up with four sons, what the family fondly referred to as the four great kings. Tanya, on the other hand, had given up after her second child, Tatum. She didn't even bother trying for a third. The memory of the ninth child's birth was still vivid in their minds. When the nurse emerged from the delivery room holding the newborn, everyone had crowded around her, anticipation thick in the air. The old lady had hesitantly asked the nurse about the baby's gender, her voice trembling with hope. The nurse, smiling warmly, had congratulated them, announcing it was a boy. Both mother and child were healthy. The mother, upon hearing it was another son, had burst into tears right there on the spot. The old lady York had wanted to cry, too. That moment marked the end of her dream for a granddaughter. By the time the ninth boy was born, it was clear the family's legacy would remain a temple of monks. Accepting it wasn't easy, but what else could they do? After Madison's four sons, Rosella had abandoned her hope for a daughter altogether. It had become something of a family joke, calling their lineage a temple of monks. But the truth was, their persistent attempts to have a daughter had only expanded the family tree with boys generation after generation. And now, there was a lingering question in everyone's minds. What if Zachary's generation also ended up with only sons?